After Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl a few years ago, the FCC jumped in and started going crazy with the word indecency. Special interest groups were bombarding them. Well, one special interest group was bombarding them with emails and faxes and phone calls. And ever since then, most of America has moved on, but some of these special interest groups keep the pressure on in Washington. Now there's talk about applying the over-the-air broadcast indecency rules to cable and satellite programming as well, not just programming that you get as your basic cable, but they've even talked about doing it for things like HBO. And I'll tell you right now that when The Sopranos come back in March, if they have to fit into the indecency regulations to keep some special interest group happy, you're going to see a riot in America when The Sopranos is quickly yanked off of HBO. But another part of this equation is that the FCC chairman, Kevin Martin, has urged cable operators to offer a la carte programming. Now, if you get cable or satellite, you've got to buy a package of 50 or 100 or 150 channels, and you get whatever channels are in there, whether you watch them or not. He says, why don't we make it so that you only have to pay for the ones you watch and turn things into different kinds of tiers? So you'd have a family-friendly tier and then, I guess, a family-unfriendly tier. I don't know what he's talking about here, and I think that this is a horrible idea for the consumers in the long run. I thought I'd have somebody from the cable industry come on here. Steve Efros used to be the president of their lobbying group, the Cable Telecommunications Association. Now he's a consultant for Charter and other cable companies across America. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Am I right that this would end up being more expensive for the consumer in the long run?
Sure it would be. I mean, all you got to do is go to the buffet, and you know that you may not want to eat the asparagus, but if the buffet is offering all of that stuff, it's cheaper than if you have to buy your food a la carte. It would be the same with protein.
Yeah, people who are going to get the prime rib and the king crab legs and eat as much
That's
as
right.
they want, if they also could pay for that just at a table, it wouldn't be $29.99, it would be $49.99.
Yeah, it would be more expensive, and ironically, it doesn't do what the special interest groups that you so rightly talked about want, because consumers can already turn off or block any channel they don't want to see. And they can use V-chips to even block out a given program if it's rated, you know, R or any other rating that they don't want. So the consumers already have that power with regard to indecency. And why the government thinks that it needs to do more and start defining family tiers, I don't know. But I agree with you. What would they call a family tier? I mean, I know when I was a kid, and I'm giving away my age, if you wanted to see something that we all saw with Janet Jackson, you went and watched, you looked at the National Geographic.
Yep.
So are we going to ban the National, is the National Geographic channel going to be on or off the family tier?
Yeah, is there any cable company that actually does have a package where they say, these are the, quote, family-friendly channels, and you pay $9.99 a month for just these?
No. I mean, individual families decide what is appropriate for individual families. A cable operator is not about to do that because different families have different ideas of what's appropriate. The scary idea to me is that the government would start deciding this stuff.
You know what I think is interesting is there used to be regulations from Congress and the FCC that broadcasters had to offer, television broadcasters had to offer a certain number of, quote, educational hours in the course of a week. And a lot of that was given over to children's programming, even going back to Captain Kangaroo and silly afternoon shows. It all fell under that heading. All of that broadcast kiddie programming has gone away and been taken up by the Nickelodeons and Noggins and Disney channels of the world. If that were forced to stand on its own, and I'm asking this from an economic standpoint.
Which stand on its own?
If you just had the kids programming stand on its own, so if you want to have this kids programming, you have to pay for it. And if you don't want kids programming, if you want the other stuff that's beyond that, you would pay for that. Which do you think would be more popular with American families and not even families, but people who don't even have kids?
Well, I mean, all we have to do is look at the ratings to know that. I mean, you know, people have on-off switches and they have channel selection guides. And we know that Desperate Housewives, is still more popular than PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And so consumers are voting with their with the channel selections they make every day. That's not to say that there aren't people who rightly only want certain types of programming in their home. And the point is, they have the power to do that right now.
But people don't understand that. And I think this is part
of
the problem.
How do we get them to understand?
Well, I don't know, because Congress insisted that all TVs made since a few years ago have the V-chip built into them, and the industry is rating itself. And as you pointed out, cable and satellite subscribers can use ratings locks and channel locks. I use them. We've got a sometimes we have a 14-year-old who comes over and babysits at my house, and I will put the ratings locks on my TV so she doesn't end up watching something on HBO or Cinemax that I wouldn't want her to watch, and I know her parents wouldn't want her to watch. But maybe I'm a little more high-tech and knowledgeable than most people. Why don't Americans do this sort of thing? Is it because we need that nanny government to do it for us?
Well, I think, you know, it comes down to politics. It comes down to satisfying certain constituency groups. And what disappoints me the most, Paul, is that rather than I mean, if the government wanted to do something useful in this area, and we acknowledge that there are people who don't understand, no matter how many public service announcements, no matter how many times the notices go out with the bills, or we put stuff on our channels, that, hey, you can control what is on your television set. The government could help by inserting media literacy programs in the schools with the PTA. And indeed, the FCC could launch a media literacy program to teach people how to do this as well, rather than just bash the industry over the head saying, we don't teach them well enough. The fact is, the controls are there. So now how do we get the public to understand that they can control what comes into their home? And I think the government could help on that instead of just looking for more power to tell us what we should and shouldn't watch.
All right, let me ask you about the other economic side of this. I went through, and I'm not a cable subscriber. I have satellite. I have Dish Network at my house. And I subscribe to this package that's 120 channels, not counting the HBO and Cinemax 11 or 13 channels, not counting that stuff, just the regular basic 120 channels. And I went through them today, printed them out, and said, how many of these do I actually watch on a regular basis? So I'm not talking about occasionally I glance over here or glance at that, but things that I really watch on a regular basis, and not counting the local channels here in St. Louis, the ABC, CBS, WB, NBC affiliates, and the Fox affiliate here, just the cable and satellite channels, I watch about 12.
Yeah, the average is 17.
Okay, so here's my question then. From the consumer side of this, I'm not watching 90% of the channels that I'm paying for. Why am I paying for them?
No, I would take exception to the way you said that, because if you listen to what you just described, you said, well, not including when I just go by and I see something that's interesting and I watch just that one thing, and I don't include the ABC, the NBC, the CBS, the Warner Brothers, the this, the that. You just excluded an awful lot of stuff.
Okay, well, let's add it in and say that I don't watch, let's say I don't watch half of the channels that I get. I'm paying $43 a month for that. If I could do it a la carte and really get the ones I wanted and the ones I do watch,
it'd be more expensive.
Why?
For two reasons. Number one, think of a newspaper. You don't read, or I'll use me, I don't read the horoscope. And frankly, I don't usually read the sports page. If I said to the Washington Post here in town, look, I want you to deliver to me a newspaper, but without the sports page and without the horoscope, and you said, well, I don't read the business page, so I want you to deliver the sports page to me, but not the business page, it would be so much more expensive for the New York or for the Washington Post to put those papers together and deliver them to you that the cost for everybody would go up. Instead, they put in the entire package because they know that the overall community watches each of those channels to some degree, okay? And the people who don't want them don't have to read them. But to do it the opposite way, to customize it for each individual person, to bill each individual person separately, and the loss of, in the case of cable television, for instance, the loss of advertising to the whatever channel you don't watch, the FX channel, would mean that FX would have to charge the number of people who do watch it all the time more. So the prices would go up. Let's take ESPN as the great example, because ESPN costs cable operators more than $2 a month to deliver.
It is the number one channel in America.
It is the most expensive, okay? Now, if we know that if we went a la carte, there are only about, and I'm using very rough figures here, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm being super accurate. We know that maybe 25% of the people consistently watch that channel the way you were just talking about the channels that you watch.
Yeah.
I watch this all the time.
Right.
So if ESPN was costing the cable operator $2 a month for 100% of the eyeballs, and now was only getting 25% of the eyeballs, which affects its advertising rates, it affects everything that goes on, and it's only getting 25% of that $2, in other words, it's getting $2 for 25% of the people instead of 100%, it has to quadruple its fee.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, ESPN costs $8.
And at the same time, wouldn't smaller outlets
like the
Food Network and HGTV and those things that I, again, never watch, somebody is watching them, but if most people aren't ordering them, there is not going to be the economy of scale there to keep them alive, right?
Diversity would go away. We would be back to the biggest networks being the most powerful because if you work with a la carte, what you need is cross-promotion. People need to know that there's a program going on some other channel to be able to know to watch it. They need to know that Paul Harris is on, so it's publicized in different places.
Yeah.
That costs lots of money. The ones who have lots of channels would be the ones who could cross-promote. So the big would get bigger, the small would disappear, the specialized audiences would be ignored, the lowest common denominator programming would get back to being what we had 30 years ago. You know, when we had ABC, NBC, CBS, it was the lowest common denominator programming, and that's all you got.
Yep.
And this is crazy. The fact is, we're going in the other direction. We are going eventually in the direction where everybody can get only what they want through video on demand, through digital video recorders, through the ability to search for programming rather than browse for programming.
Not to mention being able to download it and watch it on your
yep.
video iPod and get it when
yep.
you want. At that point, there's going to be more and more of that. And I think if you push a lot of this programming aside, maybe it finds a home there. Maybe it just becomes prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Certainly, if you force channels to spend 50% of their budget on promotion and cross-promotion to even let people know where they are to get them to buy it, rather than the quality of the programming itself, the quality of the programming will go down. So everybody loses. Nobody wins with these ideas.
How realistic
the prices are, you know, would go up, not down.
How realistic do you think this is? You've got the FCC chairman, Kevin Martin, saying, you know, we've got to do these things. You've got congressmen on both sides of the aisle, Ted Stevens of Alaska and Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, and even some congressmen from the continental United States and senators as well, all making noise about this, probably because we're going into an election year next year, and they want to say, we're on the family side here. But how likely do you think it is that the government is going to move forward into this realm?
I don't think, and I speak personally here, I don't think that we are going to see legislation that changes the entire structure of an industry, especially when almost all of the economic studies say it would cost the consumer more, and the alleged benefit, which is to be able to control the programming that comes into your house, they already have, without any more cost. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think your analysis is correct. We're coming into an election year. It always sounds good to be family-friendly. I think the structure of the industry already is family-friendly because people have total control of their televisions, and we have to make sure they know that and learn how to do it. And maybe we're going to have to teach people a little bit about economics that says, look, if you try to do something a la carte as opposed to buffet, the bill's going to be higher, not lower, so that doesn't help you either.
Yeah, somebody's got to pay for those Brussels sprouts or the salad
bar.
Right. I'm not. all right, Steve, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Steve Efros, former president of the Cable Telecommunications Association, now an industry expert and consultant to Charter and other cable companies, here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX.